Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Real Talk, Real Fate. My name is Shalom, technically the special guest host for today's episode. And then I have, can you introduce yourself?
My name is David.
For you guys that don't know, we have multiple Davids. So which David?
David Weedley. Okay. I don't know my surname, but yeah, David Weedley.
Actually, David the drummer, because everybody knows David the drummer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to be talking about Christian dating and romantic relationship. I'm so excited for this topic because this topic makes me so excited. But before we start, so I have a few questions that we're going to talk about.
Right.
Just to ease into the topic. Are you currently in a relationship?
Yes.
Great. So if you are, what's your favorite memory about your partner?
I have a bunch. but I don't know. I don't know which of them to pick, but I'll just say, yeah. Okay. Probably when we first met.
Oh, that's
first,
so cute.
Our first date.
Your first, the funny thing is that this actually leads into my second question.
Right.
Okay, because my second question is like, describe your first ideal date. Your ideal first date. So technically, you can't match the question, the answers together.
All right. So our first date was in COVID. Nowhere was open, so we went to watch a movie, like the outdoor movies, like the big screens.
Oh, the driving movies.
The driving movies. Yeah. So we went to see a driving movie and then went.
That's
to
so this. Cute.
Yeah.
No, if I've been dating for that long.
Yeah.
My God. Anyways. Moving on, so do you have any favorite Bible verse or story in the Bible that inspire you when it comes to like love or relationship in general?
I think what inspires me the most as of scriptures is probably the scripture that says that
husband, it better not be love is kind, love is
nah, it. Husband, love your soul, husband, love your wife as Christ has loved the church. And then, you know, the rest. But that's the part that pertains to me. Mm. But yeah.
Actually, I didn't answer the question, the first question. I answered the second question.
Okay.
My first ideal date. Guys, I think it's so hard for people to be doing movies anymore. Like, please retire the movie first dates. Even restaurant. I don't think that restaurants is an ideal first date. Like, yeah, because to be very honest, I'll be too hungry to be talking about how are you. And then I think in this generation, the fact that I think we already started talking before we were going on this first date, so we already know each other.
Yeah.
But I think my ideal first date, but then this probably doesn't really if it's in the summer, but my ideal first date is going to like a theme park, like Canada Wonderland or like CNE, I think, because it's just fun.
Yes.
Like, It's just fun. And then I think it just get you to see your potential partner in as child. Like, I think it's fun.
Some people are terrified of packs.
I agree. I also agree. But you know what? That's my own idea.
That's your take,
I do first day. And then I think one Bible story that inspired me is like Ruth and Boaz. Like, I feel like that relationship really requires like loyalty, like, because if she wasn't loyal to like an actual like husband, she wouldn't do all of that. But I think that's also one thing that we need in this generation. Please, guys, just be loyal. Like, it's the most important thing. Anyways, moving on. What's the one song that you've had on repeat this entire week?
Yahweh Sabaoth.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's one for me this week.
My song is not necessarily a Christian song, but I've had it on repeat. It's called She's Mine by J. Cole. And it relates to like our topic.
Right.
You should listen to it.
Right.
You should listen to it. Anyways, so now we're going to be talking about cultural stereotypes about dating and social media. So before we start, what's your definition of true love?
I think sacrifice.
But then It depends on the sacrifices that you make. I don't think that's your own definition of true love. Yes. Sacrifice.
Yes.
But in what way, though?
I'd explain. So sacrifice in terms that, like, if I love you, I'd actually give up anything for you, and I'm willing to give you up if you're not the best for me too. And I'm not the best for you. What ways?
That's fair. That's fair.
And yeah. And sacrifice for, like, both ways. Love yourself enough to sacrifice the person for yourself, if there's need for that. And love the person enough to sacrifice yourself. Like, just both ways. Love yourself enough. Sacrifice regardless. Yeah.
Wow. I guess. That's so interesting. Because, for example, when you go, like, I don't think, well, maybe because I'm just selfish, but, like, when it comes to true love, I don't really think that, oh, my first thing that comes to my mind isn't, like, true love. So, like, the first that comes to my mind isn't sacrifice. Sorry. What comes to my mind first is, like, I feel like as somebody that just accepts me for the type of person that I am, like that, or someone that just supports me,
okay,
or like just a different type of love, like the way Christ loved the church. That's why I was
sacrifice. You know why? I'll explain it to you. Like, someone who loves you for who you are. Trust me, nobody can love you for who you are. Because trust me, we're all imperfect beings. So it takes me to sacrifice. Like, I'm like, I'll see things and I'm like, I'll just close my eyes right now. Because Jesus Christ. Yeah, sacrifice.
So that's okay. Because to me, I always think that, oh, sacrifice is like, oh, like, if you want to do something and then you think about how, like, it would affect your partner and be like, okay, I'll just not do it. Or, like, I'll just not eat. So when my partner comes, we can eat together. Like, that's sacrifice.
It's just like, just the example you gave right now, that the person that loves you enough to, like, cover his eyes to your excuses, right? The same thing. I just sacrifice myself to, like, not sit. I'll be like, I meant to talk, but I won't talk this time around. I'll just keep quiet.
I agree. Okay, that's fair. That's such a great question. Abby, answer. My second question is, do you think that dating culture has changed over, like, generation, like, compared to, like, our parents' generation or our generation?
100%, yes.
Okay, in what way?
Like, there was, like, back then, there was no phones. Right now, like, a 12-year-old actually have a relationship, and his mom would,
I know,
because he could just text.
You know?
Or do something at school, and, like, TikTok is there. Like, they can just, they could communicate in ways that they wouldn't know. Like, back then, they would have to sneak out of the house, or sneak out of the class. Like, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, so definitely it's evolved over the years. Yes.
You know, one thing that really scares me about, like, dating in this generation is the fact that social media is such a big, like, thing that has just shaped, like, dating right now. Like, my sister was telling me 2 days ago that, oh, there's somebody that I liked in my class. Like, you're 13. Like, you're supposed to be reading multiplication table. What do you mean you like somebody? Like, and then which building is so, to her, she was telling me that, oh, like, you know, as far, like, younger and, but no, I told her, I was like, what do you mean you like somebody? Like, what about you? And then the funny thing is that she had a French test. Like, what's happened to you reading to your French test? You're talking about you like somebody. And which is so common between, like in this generation now. Like, there's no specific age that people, like, this kid's, like, 13, 12, yep, 14. Like, that's so scary. Like, what are you thinking of? What love do you have to give to somebody at 13?
13 is actually quite old. Like, my worst experience.
13 years old.
This kid is, like, 8, and he's like, oh, I changed my relationship, and I'm like,
what?
So you don't just have one, you just moved on. I don't know, but yeah.
And then I was telling my mom was like, when I told her that 13 is such a young age, and my mom was like, when I first came to Canada, like, I was 13. And then, which makes, like, because, like, for example, if I was back in Nigeria, like, I would have finished, like, secondary school at 14, which is, like, and then, which blows my mind. It still blows my mind. I think that shouldn't be a thing, but it is. Yeah. And then I was like, if I finish secondary school at 14, so technically, if I get into uni at 15, I can have a relationship at 15.
Yep.
Like, Which is, well, we're going to talk about that later. Because I have a question that says that, okay, anyways, I'll ask that later. So, since you said that, there's, like, different, like, what's it called? Like, dating has changed over time.
Yes.
So, what do you think makes dating different as a Christian than dating in the circular world? Like,
I think I just have one main word. It's the purpose of your relationship, right?
Mm.
It should be like, I think the biggest thing is like, just not just going into relationship without having like a purpose or having a reason. No, I don't want to use the word reason. I feel like purpose, objective. Like an objective, like, and it has to be, it's not something, you have to decide on each yourself, and then you have to talk with your partner too. Like you will have to have like a goal. You have to have a reason for dating. You can't just go into dating for nothing. Like, I think that's just very...
All those answers are like, you're going ahead of my questions, because I have like, the answers that you're giving are very similar. Now you're going to, I think I'm going to forget the question list that I have at this point. But anyways, it's so funny because later on I was going to ask that, as Christian, right? I feel like we, for example, the way you like, oh, have objective before entering a relationship. Like, what are the examples of the objective that you think that are necessary before entering, like, a Christian relationship?
Like, first off, like, I know when you say about objective, like, a lot of people, what comes to my first is, oh, I'm dating to marry. Yes. You want to date to marry, right? But still, like, that shouldn't be, like, your main, that shouldn't be the only, that should not be, it should be at the top of it. I don't want to say at the top of it. It should be, like, what buttresses your whole list.
Right.
But that shouldn't be just all you're looking at. Okay, person I'm into a relationship with, can they teach me anything spiritually? Can we pray together? Can we read together? Can we, like, have conversations? Can they improve my emotional intelligence? Like, everything round about it. Like, you should have those goals. Right. Yes.
Right. And then that still brings me back to, like, the fact that, as Christians, like, we believe that we're supposed to, like, date to marry. But then I feel like that's just putting some people in pressure. Like, for example, like, if the church is telling you that, like, if you're going to get into a relationship now, you do have to get married to that person. But what if you realize that if you date that person for a while and then you realize that they're not somebody that you think that you want to marry in the future, or they just don't, the values don't align with your values anymore. Like, I feel like people feel pressured to, like, want to just, like, leave that relationship and then keep pushing through. But then they forget that if somebody don't, like, for example, if somebody's values don't align with your values anymore, like, why are you getting married to them just because you feel like, you have to marry them? Like, that's one thing that I don't understand.
So I'll say this. You don't have to, when we're saying dates with the picture of getting married, we're not saying get married to the person immediately, or you have to, like, the whole purpose of dating is also to know the person you're talking to. Does our value align? Okay, like, there's this thing that this guy's pastor Creflo Dollar said. He said, he was talking, I was like, in the dating stage, when you guys are dating, ask questions. And the right. question that, like, is this a funny question? He said, like, what's your relationship with water? Like, do you bath? The whole purpose of dating, the whole relationship time, does this person bath? Do they actually read their Bible? Do they pray? Do they actually think like a human being?
Right.
Is their perspective to life crazy? Like, look at the person and ask yourself, do I want this human being to actually be alone with my kids and instill what's in his or her head into my kids? Nah. If your answer is like maybe no,
you
should move on. Because definitely, you don't want to get a broken relationship is better than a broken marriage 1 million times. It's better to end a relationship if you have reasons to, like, it's not working out, or it's not going to work out.
Because, for example, I think that marriage is a forever thing. Like,
but also, we should always also remember, put it at the back of your mind, that you can't find a perfect person.
Exactly.
If you leave A for B, you're going to figure out that B might have the things that you wanted A to have, but B is going to lack things that you actually enjoyed in A. So you have to, at the end of the day, you have to find the balance. Okay, this person I'm going with. Okay, what are the pros, what are the cons? Do I think I can work with their imperfection, with their shortcomings?
But I think that, like, for example, I think working with your partner's imperfection is, I think that's where love comes in to me.
Yes.
Because I feel like if you love someone very much, you'd be willing to deal with their imperfection. Like, or help them work on it. So, yeah.
Okay, so I would not say anything, but I'll say for myself. Personally, no matter how much I love you, if there are things I see in you that, their shortcomings, I don't want them.
Right.
I speak to you about it. And you don't act like you want to improve on them. You don't, let's even go back. You don't even accept or come to the realization that you actually have these things in you. Right. Now that's a turn off. Because there's no way that person's going to change if they can't actually accept.
Right.
So yeah. And that's where loving yourself enough to let go, even though you think or believe you love the person.
And then I think one thing that I've come to realize is that I feel like most people struggle with relationship because they don't love themselves.
Yes.
Like, for example, like, if I love myself enough to, like, want something great for myself, I think that would push me to want something great for my partner. Like, it's just, I think it just comes down to loving yourself, because you would only do things that you would like, or things that would, you know, that would make you happy, that would make you be able to do things, know that, okay, if I do this thing to somebody, like, if it was done to me, would I be able to take it? So if you cannot take it, I feel like that makes you not want to do, like, it helps in terms of relationship, because it just helps.
You're 100% correct. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody, because what you don't have,
you can't
give it. So yeah, definitely.
You can't give.
Yeah.
Okay, so that comes down to, how do you, like the way we talked about imperfection, right? And I think that goes, I think we all grew up in different backgrounds, right? So how do we navigate those different, like, cultural backgrounds, or like the way, or religion backgrounds in a relationship? Like, how do you, because I feel like a relationship is two people from different backgrounds coming together as one. And then most of the time that clashes. And I think in this generation, people don't have patience anymore. And that's one of the curses of, like, failed relationship. Because if, for example, if I come in a family where, like, oh, we all have to sit together in the table to eat, and then you don't come in a family of, like, we not, like, they don't eat together, how do you, like, navigate that as when you're in relationship with somebody?
So I think I'll take it like this. There's like the example you just gave me right now is something that you want to deal with later when you're probably almost getting married.
Right.
And I'll give you examples. Like, so there are things that you have to deal with right away. For example, mm-hmm. I just believe that I can't be rich as working 9 to 5. But you're somebody that doesn't believe in right. business. You only believe in 9 to 5. It's something we have to deal with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because we can't pass tomorrow with that kind of, like, conflicting mindset. Right. We can probably get to probably, like, when we need to get married. But once we get married, it's going to be a big issue. But things like sitting around the table, you don't have to deal with that until marriage. And it's more like a belief. I believe in it. You believe in it. Okay. Right. Why do you believe in it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way to solve any belief, cultural, whatever it may be, is why do you guys do it in your family?
Right.
Why don't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it in my family? Are we not doing it because there was no time? Yeah, definitely. Let's go. Let's do it. Like, understanding each other and having that common ground. Like, everybody has to come together to find a balanced ground at every point. Because even, like, example, me and my sister, just two of us, we're born in the same house, the same upbringing, we still don't think alike.
Right.
So I can imagine someone who is not even my family member or someone who has a totally different mm-hmm. upbringing, right? So yeah, you just have to find a common ground.
That's so true, because let me, an example is, how do I even, I'm trying to put my words properly. I'll remember what I'm saying in better words, but I'll just move on to a different topic. Okay, since that we're talking, but necessarily not talking about, like, if we leave the, let's just leave circular, like, dating cycle or whatever, like, what does it mean to have a Christ, like, centered relationship?
As much as I love to say it, first off is, every time you guys have to make a decision, like one check mark out, when you have to make a decision, I'll try to be as practical as possible.
You're right.
What's your main factor? What's your main factor in it? Is it God or just, let's just do whatever I want to do? Like, do you pray together? Do you check on your spouse? Oh, babe, did you go to church?
Mm.
Did you pray this morning? Did you read your Bible? Even though the answer will probably be no every day, or maybe yes, depending on the person, like, those kind of things. Okay, example. Oh, she tells you, oh, she has an issue or something. The first question, oh, did you pray about it? Help each other grow spiritually. I think that's the center of having a Christ relationship.
But then I feel like that's cliche, though. Like, I feel like as Christians, those are the things that we are expected to do, but most of the time that's not the case.
I'll give an example. Like, a bunch of times I don't remember to pray with my girlfriend. I'm being serious. Maybe like once a week. So I'll give an example. Sometimes I remember every blessed time and we do it. Then we go into the season where I'm like, I can't even remember, because I myself, in that, maybe in that moment, I'm actually fighting with my whole spiritual life. I'm actually having a personal crisis. But doesn't rule out the fact that I'll still ask, oh, did you pray this morning?
Because, well, personally, as somebody that is still struggling with, like, my spiritual journey, I feel like it would just be so hard to, like, if I'm struggling, like, how am I supposed to help my partner?
There's a scripture that says that one will fight 1,000, two will fight 10,000. Trust me, when you have a partner who also is Christ personally centered, mm-hmm. they would help you. Trust me, I pray better when I'm actually, like, praying with my girlfriend, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's so sometimes. Cute.
Most of the time, actually. Not even sometimes. Yes.
Okay. So then, the fact that you say that, Christian, we have to have a Christ-centered relationship.
Yes.
So what are the challenges that, like, Christian youth face in this generation, in society, as to be able to have a Christ-centered relationship?
Like, so do you mean, like, what can we do to...
No, like, what are the challenges we face?
The biggest challenge we face right now in almost every area of our life is the internet.
I know, social media.
On the other side of it, it's our biggest help right now. So it's two sides to a coin.
Right.
It's our biggest issue right now, and it's still the biggest help we have right now. Yeah. So yeah, it's internet.
So technically, we can say that social media has, like, necessarily and possibly shaped, like, the dating culture.
It has both ways.
Right. And then to me, I feel like it's doing more harm than good.
Yes, it is. Because every day, I feel like there are more people who don't have the right knowledge.
Right.
They come up, and then the algorithm favors them, and they just speak jargons to a bunch of people who just take up what they say and just go with it, run with it. But yeah,
I think for me, speaking from experience, as during Valentine, right? Let me be very honest. During Valentine, before Valentine Day, I'd seen on TikTok where people, like, are doing extravagant things to ask their partner, like, be my Valentine, right? And which is so funny. And then that comes down to, like, trends. Because, for example, last year, I didn't see people doing things to ask their, like, the their partner to be their Valentine, right? And then when I'm seeing it this year, I'm like, wow. And I'm expecting, and then to me, I expect that, okay, my partner should do the exact same thing.
Right.
Like, if I'm seeing 25,000 people on my TikTok do give their partner some, like, and then, it makes me realize that, what if my partner don't have, like, if I seen somebody give a BMW as, okay, will you be my Valentine, and then my partner brings, or if what if he even tries and then bring me a gift, and then I'm thinking, okay, why can't I have that? I feel, yeah. And I think that's one thing that people are actually really going through right now.
Comparison is the biggest
exactly
killer of joy. And then this is the funniest thing. I'll give you an example. I'm in a relationship. My girlfriend probably saw all the proposals, right? I'm not on TikTok, so I didn't even know that thing was going around. So it boils down to...
I didn't even know.
Like, this, I'm just hearing it that, there were a bunch of... So I feel like it comes down to sacrifice, but not to make it look like a shit. It's more like understand who your partner is,
right?
Where they're at, where they're going, where they're coming from. Okay, so this is their progress. Let's imagine last year you asked them, you didn't ask me to be your Valentine or whatever, and then he says, okay, next year I'll try better. This year. So far, he said, will you be my Valentine? Even if he doesn't bring a gift. And then he brings a gift on a Valentine's Day. That's progress.
Okay.
And then you should understand that, okay, yeah, he wasn't here last year. He's doing better right now because he said he would. I think understanding is, okay, yeah, my boyfriend is doing better. And that's all. I think that's all that matters. Because at the end of the day, the person who brought the BMW probably... next week
they're probably working,
they're gonna have
night to night.
Let's even say they have the money. Let's even imagine they have the money and they could actually afford it and it's comfortable for him to buy the BMW, but then he's not, their relationship is not fulfilled, there's no happiness in it,
right?
2 weeks down the line they break up and then probably she returns the BMW. You don't know about that, and then she has to go around and buy a BMW just to cover the face and everything. You don't know what happens. But I think understanding that your boyfriend is trying to do his best, and so far you see progress in him doing his best, I think that's you now coming in is you being, you sacrificing that. I would love to have this, but I think what he's giving me right now, what he's bringing to the table right now for me, is all he has,
and I should. But what if he has more but he's doing less?
So the thing is this, I think one other thing about our generation right now is we feel like we're entitled. We are not entitled to anything.
I
used to be entitled up until a certain time when I faced a bunch of responsibilities and I'm like, alright, there's no need for it. So there's no need to be entitled. Like, your dad is doing you a favor.
What do you mean? Some people's dad don't actually take care of them.
Yeah, regardless. He's meant to do it. He's obligated to do it by rights or whatever the case may be. But if he doesn't do it, you can't sue him.
Right. You can't do anything.
If your boyfriend doesn't do anything, you can't sue him. The only right you have is to leave if you're not satisfied.
Which is so funny because I think that, for example, personally, like, my parents mostly do everything for me. Like, I can go to my mom and be like, oh, this is what I want, or this is what I need, and then it would be provided, right? So when I'm in a romantic relationship, I really don't, I'm not like I don't expect the person to do things for me, but then I wouldn't be like, oh, I wouldn't make a thing out of it and be like, oh, like, you were supposed to buy me this, but you didn't, when I know that my parents can do it. So, like, but then I understand that some people don't have the luxury, like, their parents cannot do that. And then which makes it easier for them to put it on their partner and be like, well, this is what somebody is doing for their partner. Why are you not doing it for me? And then I feel like that's just, it's going to mess up people's relationship. Because, and then also, I think that people are not patient. Because if you know that your partner cannot afford at this time, next year if they can afford. But then some people don't have patience to wait till next year. If you don't have, if you cannot do it right now, please, Claire, moots. Like, bye-bye.
And I think what's funny is most of the people who actually set up those high standards,
right,
they can't replicate the energy they're expecting from someone else. Like, if you can't, I heard a relationship coach say something one time. He said something like, oh, you go out on a date with a guy, whatever you're ordering to the table, if you can't afford it,
pay by yourself. Don't do it.
Don't order it. Tell me to take it back. Because we expect someone else to do things that we can't even do for ourselves.
For themselves, yeah.
Let's be reasonable, please.
That's so true. Because I think I seen something similar, and then it was what's it called? Somebody tweeted on Twitter, and they were like, "Oh, you can't afford a Chanel bag, but then you want your boyfriend that." You know that, and then also you know that your boyfriend works probably is working in McDonald's or something. But then you want him to go buy you a YSL bag. Let's be for real.
He's not even paid his rent. This
is why I think that we all know. Like for example, we're all age mates. Like we know I'm struggling right now.
Yes,
and then. So I know that definitely my partner is also struggling, or you're probably struggling. If I can't buy YSL back for myself, why should I be expecting YSL back from this man? But then, that's just me, because I know that some people it doesn't relate to them. But
yeah, like a bunch of people, like when the Bible said. Husband, provide for your wife. He didn't say boyfriend.
Boyfriend, provide for your...
provide for your girlfriend. Is the truth we don't want to see. Like, it's different if, like, you've been in a relationship with someone and then you've both seen both sides of the coin that, oh, if tables were turned,
right,
they would do the same for you. Like, yes. Mm-hmm. Or if I could afford it and I'm like, okay, I'll do it, yes. And let them, don't do it, don't expect it, don't be entitled to it. Let them do it out of their hearts.
So, okay, you're saying that let them do it out of their heart, right? But then what if they don't know that that's what they're supposed to do?
Well, it goes back to don't be entitled. If they don't know that that's what they're meant to do, I think, I don't know. Like, I feel like regardless of what the case may be, if a man is in love, at some point, he's gonna do some things. I feel that way. Because it's kind of like in a man's DNA too. Tell if he loves you, yes, right, to do it.
I think one thing that I've learned is men love to provide for people that they actually love. Like, I think, well, that might not be true, but that's just something that I've realized. That, like, if you don't love somebody or you don't love them enough, you wouldn't be thinking that, oh, like, you wouldn't, for example, if I don't like someone and I go into Urban Planet, and I see a shirt that they would like, if I don't like them enough, I'm not gonna buy it. But if I'm like, oh my God, like that would look great on my partner, like I was like, I would buy it because I love them that much, right? But then people are forcing men to do things for them. But then does that mean that they don't like you?
So the thing is, like, I'll give you an example. Like, apart from the fact that he loves you, I think in my eyes, at least in a certain amount of men's eyes, they want you to, they look at this gift. Are you worth it?
What do you mean, am I worth it? Like, why are you with me if it's not worth it?
It's not you yourself. It's what we have going on. Okay,
that makes more sense.
Am I at a place in my life that I can actually, like, provide that kind of gift for you as well?
Just what he said. Am I at a place where... First off, financially, I'm at the place where I can provide it. Are we at the stage where what we have going on is what? Because I'll give you an example. If I don't love you enough, I'd rather put my money in crypto
or stock market.
If we don't have, I'm being serious right now, because at the end of the day, I'll paint you a scenario right now. You talk to a girl, you guys have something going on, or you think you have something going on with her. And then you are apparently dating yourself. But then 3 months down the line, that's when you figure out you've dated yourself. But you spent probably what, half of your life savings. She's going to leave you and move on to the next person. Or she'll leave you not and not move on to the next person. She'll leave you. You're back with yourself. Now you're like, okay, my school is coming up. I need to pay my tuition. I need to pay my school.
I know, but then you just...
But then reality just sets in.
Right.
You spent a lot of money for...
So does that mean that men are... Like, you guys are scared of, like, the fact that, oh, if I buy this girl a BMW... Or why am I even using BMW as an example? A Zara shirt. Let me use Zara shirt. Okay, if I buy her a Zara shirt, is she going to leave me 2 months later? Why are you thinking about the future?
We don't think about... We're not scared to spend the money, but this is just base facts. I'll give an example. Let's say I make $500 bi-weekly. My rent is $600, right? I'm left with $400.
Mm-hmm.
My $400, I have to eat, I have to go to work and everything. By the time I'm done at the end of the month, I'm probably left with like what... Let's say I'm left with $100. Worst case scenario, I'm left with $100. And then I'm talking to a girl. But then I notice that she's not even reciprocating the energy that much. I'm the one initiating everything. I'm even doing everything. You think I'm going to give you my last $100? I'll send it to my mom. And she'll pray for me.
You know what?
I'll take my friends out. Because I know when I'm in need, they'll come through for me.
I agree. But then you know what's funny, right? To be very honest, this is why I always say that. If you're not financially capable of a relationship, just don't do it.
Now let's go back one step. The whole financial are you financially capable of a relationship? I think we're expecting too much. Because I'm not coming to date because I want to. Okay, my mind. I'm like, okay, I want to date this girl. I have to buy a house. I have to buy a car. I have to buy a this and that. No, I'm coming in a relationship because I want to know you. And I'm not thinking, oh, like, I want to spend my money on you when I have it.
Right.
Even when I don't have it. If I look at my girlfriend, okay, it's her birthday. Let's imagine I don't have money. I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? I go around and I find money. I figure things out because I need to make her feel special.
Right.
Because she makes me feel special on normal day. 100%. But not when I'm just meeting you for the first time. Probably we're going out the second time. And then you're already expecting me to take you to Yorkdale Mall and spend like $1,000 on you. Who are you?
Let's be sincere. Okay, what I mean by like, if you're not financially capable, right? Let's be, things like, we're going on a date and then you have to pay for it. If you don't have money to pay, why are you taking me out?
Now, I'll get you there. Now, it's about, if you're not financially capable, don't date. Yes, 100%. I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, I didn't want anything to do with a relationship. Because, not 3 years ago, actually. Let's say four, five years ago. Because I knew at that time, I needed money to pay my tuition.
Right.
I wasn't thinking of, any girl who wanted me to spend money on her, in my eyes, she's a witch. Because look at my predicaments. Right? So I wasn't thinking of relationship. I'm a little bit more okay now. I can think of it. Because... What probably at the age I want to start doing that. Now let's go back to being financially capable. You want to make sure if you are dating, cut your coats
according to your size.
Not your size, according to your pockets. Okay. How much do you have in your pockets? Don't go and date. You're making $1,000 per month. Don't go and date someone who is making $7,000 a month.
But that's tricky
because her expectations
would be high.
Will be high. But now there are two types of women. There are women who actually secure enough and they felt enough love growing up. They don't need your money to make them feel secure or loved.
Right.
They don't need your provision because they know they can't provide for themselves. There are people that they don't want to ask you, baby, can you? They want you to think out of your mind. I'm like, oh, my baby needs this. Let me give her this.
Right?
Because she can actually afford it
by herself.
Two times. Not just by herself. Like, she can buy it two times and she'll still be smiling. So, date someone, like, you're making $1,000. Date someone who's making $1,000, $1,500. Because then she'll understand. Because she too, she'll be able to, like, oh, I'm making $1,000 too. And I can't afford something of $500. So, let me expect what is $100 or $50.
But, okay. Let's say... you're saying that we should date according to, what if I already dated you for 5 months and then now you get a job and then we are no longer earning $1,000, you're earning $5,000. Okay. What happens?
So, like, example, like, a man always, like, let me not use a man. If I was in that scenario, I'd plan, okay, my new $5,000 now, I'm going to do this and this for my money. I'm going to look at you, okay, my babes, right, she's been there, let's go on bigger dates, I guess.
But what if it was flipped around and it was the woman that was earning more money than the guy?
I think that all boils into, so if the man being secure enough, I'll go back 1 second. When you, I lost my train of thought. I'll remember. But regardless, like you, when you date someone, and then it's 5 months down the line. It's just 5 months. I'm being serious. Like,
what if it was more than 5 months?
Okay. You know there are five different love languages, or is it four?
It's five.
There are five different love languages. If gifts is not top of my love language,
that's
and it's not top of your love language, why? Because we've made it seem like right now the only love language that exists is gifts and money. Guys,
I'm so sorry, but then that's reality now. That's literally our reality now.
It's all because, like, the internet is painting a picture for us. Movies are painting pictures for us, like, because everything is just painting pictures, and all is painting right now. What is painting right now is you have to have money, and then what it does is it pushes guys into the place where they actually have to go into things that they're not meant to go into,
right?
Or it makes guys feel like they're less of themselves.
So, right, I do agree.
It also puts men in a place where they're actually emotionally broken. Because they don't have money, they don't feel wanted. And as much as people don't pay attention to men's mental health and all, it's actually a thing.
Yeah, we know that. Okay. But then, like, okay, we're not going to talk about mental health.
Yes, well,
let's get on this episode, yes. Because that's not the main focus of the episode.
Yes.
But then I do agree that men do have mental health. Okay. But what I'm talking about is, let me stop using the example of, like, gift giving, okay. Right? I don't know what other example, to be very honest, I don't know what other example I can use. Okay. If it's not gift giving, like, because I feel like that's really one, like, issue that is really very, very much important.